Raby Show on a Wednesday. It's the 14th of July, and we are previewing the British Open from our Ophthalmology Associates studios with Rick Gaiman of rickrungood.com. Coming up in just a moment, we get set for the final major of the golf season. And what's been a pretty incredible year-plus run since the restart last year. So looking forward to talking some British Open with Rick Gaiman from rickrungood.com, coming up in just a moment. Again, broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. Reach them by calling 314-966-5000 or going to youreyedoc.com. Schedule an appointment with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Tell them that Chris Raby sent you from The Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Now that stuff is open again, you want to make sure that your eyes are working as well as they possibly can when you get to the game, when you get to the course, when you are just doing whatever you're doing. Take care of your eyes and do that with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Again, online at youreyedoc.com or by calling 314-966-5000. Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Brasati, and Dr. Andrew Royer are the doctors. Doctors, tell them Chris Raby sent you from The Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is Open Championship Week, and that means that we say hello to Rick Gaiman from rickrungood.com. Head to rickrungood.com, and you can bask in the glory of all of the numbers, all of the advantages, all of the work that Rick does and what he puts together each and every week, and he joins us each and every week here on the show. What's going on, man? Happy Open Week. Happy last major, or really, I guess, last 13, 14 months of just jam-packed major goodness.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, I like the basking in the glory thing. I'm going to steal that from you. But yeah, this is Open Championship, two years in the making. It is the end of this run of, I think it was like seven majors in, you know, 11 months or something, six in this season alone. It's going to feel weird that it's going to be 9 months before the Masters. But yeah, let's enjoy it. I think we're going to end in a really good one.
I think there's no dispute that two of the majors are safely atop my list of Mount Rushmore best sports trophies. The Green Jacket and the Claret Jug, along with the Stanley Cup. And something else. What says you, Rick Gaiman?
Ooh.
I like wearable or drink out of a bowl trophies.
I mean, you named really legitimate ones. Now, how technically nerdy do you want to get here?
Because, let's get weird, buddy.
Well, the Masters trophy is not the Green Jacket.
Oh, okay. It is the
there's a replica clubhouse.
Okay. we will say the best
Like prize
award. Yes. Yeah. The best prize. Yeah. The thing that you get,
man, Larry O'Brien's pretty cool. It's sleek. Yeah. It's modern. Looks like a basketball, but I'm sure there's something we're not thinking.
It's
of.
Very hold upable and like,
How about the crystal college football trophy?
Perfect. Okay. That one, cool. You wouldn't, you know, if you saw the damage that, our guy from St. Louis, Pat Maroon and the Lightning did to the Stanley Cup yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but they were partying with it. Yeah, horribly, horribly damaged, which I am shocked does not happen more often. Wouldn't want to give Pat Maroon and the boys the crystal football trophy.
Would not last more than just a few minutes, I imagine.
Rick Gaiman, rickrungood.com is where you go. And Rick, let's start right at the top. And we'll begin with just kind of your philosophy on majors and on major weeks. And we've talked about this so much, Rick, but we have the soft pricing. We've got a lot of people in the mix, a lot of casual players. So how do you begin to kind of set the table and what's important? What changes maybe for you as you're starting to look at projected ownership and start to come up with a plan?
So good news is you can make any lineup that you want. The pricing very, very soft. It's a great opportunity. The sites, they know that. They're trying to give you a great chance at it. I think this major more than most. So here's what happened. A lot of people got into golf last summer and they have not experienced an Open Championship. And because of that, I think there's an opportunity to let everybody know this is kind of wacky. It's kind of wild. Things can be pretty random between the wind and the undulation and the bad bounces and the good bounces. There's a lot of stuff these players don't control. It's not like Augusta National, which seemingly plays very, very similar every single year. It's the same course, all of that. So I would encourage from a philosophical standpoint, embrace the chaos a little bit. Maybe that means fading some of the higher owned golfers. Maybe it means going down and getting some of these longer shot guys. I think you should be embracing chaos because this event seems to turn it up to 10.
What do you like most about the chaos, Rick, outside of just the variance and the opportunity it presents? Like, how much do you enjoy the Open, both aesthetically and the style of golf as a golf fan?
It's definitely a pure form of golf. What I love about it is that it gives you a lot of opportunities. There was a great quote from Brooks Koepka earlier this week. He said, you're 50 yards out and there's about six different clubs you can use. I like that. It allows golfers to decide how they want to play the course. Also, Royal St. George's in particular, there are almost every single tee shot. It's not a ton of risk reward, right? Like, you're not going to get a real drivable par four with water all down the left side or something like that, but like there's a little bit of risk reward on every single shot. And when guys start taking that on, you can get a little bit of gains or a little bit of losses on essentially every single tee shot. And they add up very quickly in both directions. So you can see some really high numbers and some really low numbers. It's a really interesting dynamic that we don't often get on I was going to say the tour, but in golf in general.
Yeah, you're right. Even on the European tour, on both tours. So as we head to rickrungood.com and check out the cheat sheet, we notice at the top, five guys, 10,000 or above, Rahm, Rory, Brooks, DJ, and Xander. What do you make of the top of the board, and what do you make of the couple of guys who, you know, soft pricing notwithstanding, have started to fall a little bit, that have been up in that, you know, 10,000 and above range for recent majors, guys like Bryson, Spieth, Morikawa, I guess even JT to some extent. What do you make of the very top of the board, Rick?
So it's very clear John Rahm is, you know, he's the favorite. Odds makers have made him the favorite. That makes a lot of sense. But the gap between him and the rest of his peers in sports books is much wider than what it is here on DraftKings, for example. So you can kind of lean a bit more towards Rahm for DFS purposes, but there's going to be a couple of clear, I think, guys that are going to be very, very popular. Brooks Koepka, I think that's well warranted, and Xander Schauffele, who is a flat $10,000. And those are two guys that have had a lot of great major championship experience, even though Xander hasn't hoisted a trophy or added one to his resume yet. And I think all those guys are fine. They're priced accordingly, but the 9K range that you are referring to offers a lot of that opportunity. It's the ability to buy low on a Bryson DeChambeau at probably the lowest ownership you're going to get on him in a really long time. Whether you want to do that or not is a decision for you to make, but that opportunity is there. Jordan Spieth, probably one of the most mispriced guys at the top. $9,700. There's a lot of guys more expensive than him. He might be, outside of John Rahm, the best player on the planet right now. And then this really weird situation that we have here, Chris, where the young guys have gotten so good so quickly, and we haven't had an Open Championship in 2 years, that guys like Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, and you can throw Scottie Scheffler into the mix as well, have never played an Open Championship. And I think they're the X factor, because this is such an event where people lean on experience.
It's crazy to still call Morikawa a young guy, but in that sense, you're exactly right. And that's something that I would just, you know, not even think about.
He's the fourth ranked player in the world. He's never played an Open Championship. These guys to me are the X factors, because I think it's the lack of experience is going to keep their ownership in check. It is not their fault that they have not played an Open Championship. It's just a weird situation. Right. So I like both of those guys kind of as these sneaky X factor options.
All right. So give me the guy, Rick Gaiman, or the first move for your lineup, the guy you have to have, or one of the guys you have to have. We talk about this every week, but certainly in majors, and certainly when you're going against huge fields with soft pricing, who do you got to have?
So have to have is probably Spieth. When you factor in how much cheaper he is than the rest of the guys, how much better he has been than those guys, the fact that he is creative around the greens, which is what you want, the fact that he has won this event before, that checks off all the boxes. The other guy that I would kind of pair with him to be a little more different would be Victor Hovland, who's I have coming in right around the 10% mark. I know the lack of experience. That's the only knock. You know, he has won on the PGA Tour twice in two windy places, Puerto Rico and Mayakoba. He added a European Tour victory just 2 weeks ago. His short game, while not great, has gotten much better. I think if you paired those two guys together, you would not be super chalky, and I would be pretty happy with the outcome.
All right, we're going to win this $1 million here
eventually
at some point.
We will.
So if we do indeed start with those two, if we start with Spieth and Hovland, then from there, again, do we take advantage of some of the soft pricing and still look towards the top of the card? Do we get another guy that we have to have that's a little bit further down and work from there? What's your approach in a field like this and a week where you're going to be navigating a lot of entries no matter what contest you're playing in?
Yep. So we're going way down. $6,300. It's Sam Burns. This is obvious. It's a misprice. It's a mistake. You know, you look at his odds to win about 80-1. Guys that are similarly priced, 6,300. Ernie Els is 350-1. I mean, he is just not. It's wrong. He should probably be 7,300. I don't particularly care how owned he is because the flexibility that he is going to give us as a PGA Tour winner this year and probably who should have won a couple of more. Is well worth whatever that risk and whatever that ownership is going to be because he's going to allow us to do basically anything we want from here on out.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, even with the success he's had, the form that he's in, the numbers, the strokes gain numbers, I would expect his ownership numbers to be fairly low because some people get scared off when they see that number, right? Like, instead of thinking it's a misprice, they think that something's wrong with Sam Burns. And if he's coming in, you know, where you have him at rickrungood.com, I think you're still getting incredible value on him.
So the casuals will not even scroll that far. Like that's the thing. So
how are you going to miss a Darren Clark? Me lucky charm.
Unless you're going to, have somebody tell you about Sam Burns, you're probably missing out. And the fact that the pricing is so soft, you know, there has been weeks recently. Kyle Stanley was like $6,100 a couple of weeks ago. He was an obvious play. You can make any lineup that you want. It's not like he's the only way to get flexible because there's so many other ways to get flexible. So I do think it keeps his ownership in check a little bit.
Is there another guy that stands out as maybe one of those misprices? And I'm looking down. And in the 6,000s, I see a couple of guys who have been good to us this year, Rick, including Taylor Gooch, including Chris Kirk, including, maybe even like a Lanto Griffin. So what goes into, how you approach maybe finding some misprice, finding some value? We've got an average salary of about 8,300 left with three spots left on our squad.
Yeah, I'm about to give us a lot more for our final two spots here. So Lucas Herbert is 6,800. So if you're not aware of the name, and a lot of people won't be because he plays a lot on the European Tour, he won on the European Tour 2 weeks ago. He finished fourth at the Scottish Open last week when all of the Americans went over and all the best players on tour went over there to play early. He played his two events before that on the PGA Tour, both top 20s. I mean, he is in great shape right now. We've seen him win last year on the European Tour. $6,800 is a really good price, and I don't know what the exact number is you're going to tell me, but we have two spots left, and we have got like all the money remaining.
He's done a lot of big game hunting, too. He's played really well in really good fields. I heard you guys, you and Kyle and the guys, use that term to describe Patrick Reed a couple of maybe last season on the pod, the First Cut pod, and I love that. I use that all the time. I call, just in nonsensical scenarios. So that gives us $9,050 for our last two.
Wow. Okay, question. If we go, so we have, we went with Spieth and Hovland. Okay, so if we
Spieth, Hovland, Herbert, and Burns.
Okay, and we have 9,000, what is it?
Just over 9,000, $9,050. So 9,050, which, oh boy.
It's a lot. I mean, I think this. We should just go back to the top. You could probably just play Rahm. You could play Rahm or Brooks or you could play anybody. So
who do you like the most out of the top we'll say above Spieth, the Bryson and five. Who do you like the most?
Man,
Bryson's ownership is projected.
I know it's crazy
so low right now.
I think the answer is Rom. You know, I have him coming in. First of all, he's the favorite. And I also, I would have kind of thought that the ownership for him and Brooks would be a little bit flipped, which is kind of what I expected. But the fact that Rom is projecting right now to be about 6% less owned than Brooks, and we have the money available, I think we have to plug him in.
We plug Rom in. That gives us 6,800 left. So we head back towards that that value zone. And again, there are some guys who have some numbers that pop on the cheat sheet. Give me an idea of, even if we're not locking it in, I'm putting you on the spot, but give me an idea of who you like in that range, Rick, and where you think we can maybe get value, not just out of the pricing here in our last pick, but a guy that could provide some value if they can get us in and if we can potentially be sniffing around 6 for 6.
Yeah, you mentioned Lonto Griffin earlier. I think that's fine, something like that, somewhere in there. Even a Joel Damon has played better. Or, I mean, there's a fairly strong case about Charlie Hoffman at 6,700.
I was going to say, how do you feel about Hoffman or Matt Jones?
Yeah.
Or
it's probably Hoffman. You know, he has been making a ton of cuts. His advanced metrics are really favorable. And at this price, you're really not asking all that much of him. You're asking him and Sam Burns to make the cut. And then you're asking your big boys to go out and try to win you a golf tournament.
I like that a lot. So that gives us Spieth, Hovland. I'm going in order that we kind of work through the exercise. Burns, Herbert, Rahm, and Charlie Hoffman. Oof. I love it. And it's like, even John Rahm, the fact that, you know, I'll just say that I was surprised at your ownership projection for him. It's amazing, as the pricing gets a little softer, the other areas that you can try to find advantages, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it helps because you can do so much. There are so many weeks, there's a natural build. You know, it's this golfer who's a great value, and then you go down to the next range, and that's an obvious one. And everyone lives in the same kind of pockets of the board. Here, it turns into a popularity contest, quite frankly, is people play who they want to play. I want to play Brooks Koepka. I want to play Jordan Spieth. I want to play Patrick Reed, or whatever it might be. It's really interesting how the ownership ends up shaking out in this.
Charlie Hoffman has, let's see, since 2016 has missed one, or no, since 2016, 4 for 4, making cuts at the Open Championship, 77, T20, T17, T51. And going back over that stretch, he has played in 17 majors. Want to guess how many cuts he's missed out of that 17 since 2016?
Well, he's a staple as like your first round leader at the Masters. So I'm going to say, so he's played 17. I think he's missed 2.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. He's been good. Really, really good. I love that.
Just goes to show, man, how freaking obvious good these guys are, but like how the guys that you don't even really think about and the guys that can put it together, like a Charlie Hoffman. Like, I bet Charlie Hoffman is unbelievably high on the career money list. I bet he's top 50 in the history of golf.
Like the longevity alone. Like, if you have a 10-year career where you sprinkle in a couple wins and just
pile
up top 20s.
Way more
20s.
Than Arnold Palmer on the course.
Oh my God, it's not even close. Yeah, Arnold Palmer probably made $4 million on the course, and Charlie Hoffman probably makes $4 million a year.
Charlie Hoffman is 38th all time in career.
How much is it? 30
money.
Something? 30 something.
$31 million.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good.
It's incredible to look. He's in front of John Rahm for now. But like, he's in front of Patrick Harrington. He's in front of Louis Oosthuizen. I know it's PGA Tour, but in front of Fred Couples, like guys that have had these incredible careers. Tom Lehman, Fred Funk. So go get him, Chuck. Go get him, Chuck. Can you imagine Charlie Hoffman wearing the green Titleist trucker hat, walking down the 18th fairway of the Open Championship, and like a just very loud American outfit. I could see that. I could see him going Stars and Stripes maybe on Sunday. Probably one for the boys.
Probably wins us $1 million if he does. So yeah, I can certainly see it.
RickRungood.com is the website. I'm going to plug this lineup in and check out all of the live showdown info and everything at RickRungood.com this weekend. Check out the First Cut podcast. Get some good live picks throughout the weekend as well. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the Open.
Thank you, Chris. I will. Thank you.
Big thanks to Rick. Get those lineups in. hit me up on Twitter at CHRABE if you fire up a subscription to Rick Run Good. I want to give someone this Matthew Wolf Artifacts rookie card that I've got. So hit me up, put a bounty out, and we'll pull one of you guys for Matthew Wolf rookie card. It's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, this has been the Chris Rabe Show from the Ophthalmology Associate Studios. As always, be nice to each other. Peace.